Well, when the riots kicked off in Tottenham, I was actually in hospital at the time, and that's how I knew about those riots and that were going on, because they had a TV screen. I was in the waiting area, and I see it going off in Tottenham and stuff. But I had no idea how big this scale it was. I had no idea at all until I actually was involved in Croydon.
What happened then? When did you get involved? You're in hospital. You come out of hospital. Just talk us through sort of
on the Monday, the 8th of August. And I was actually walking through Croydon, and there was loads of police, there was loads of people, and then all of a sudden alarms were going off on every shop where everyone was smashing stuff in. And I'd been on the streets for 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, non-stop, and Salvation Army, they know all about that. So then I saw an opportunity to get some drink. I mean, I didn't go in for alcohol or food or anything like that. I just went in for a bottle of Coke in Iceland, and then just escalated from there. Then I got the rush for it a little bit. I just had a mad hour. Ended up going to Argos, robbing some jewellery boxes, but they were empty. And then I went to Comet and got a couple of iPads to try and sell to get myself some money.
So let's go back a little bit then. You'd been on the streets for a couple of weeks. Yeah. Can you tell us your circumstances then? What had led to that?
Well, I was living in Spain prior to that, in Belfast, but I'd had a breakdown from all the family deaths and my brother being in hospital, and everything just got on top for me. And I had no family in England like that would support me, that would put me up. So it was horrible. It was a horrible, horrible time in my life. It really was, yeah.
And we're talking, what, a year ago now?
Yeah, just over a year ago now. So last July and August, I was on the streets, sleeping on park benches and going to the soup kitchen for food and stuff like that, and there was just no help from anywhere else, and the riots just seemed like a perfect opportunity to make some money.
How old are you, Anthony?
27, 28 next month. Well, this month.
Okay. And I tell you hadn't ever expected to be in that situation?
No. I mean, the last time I was in trouble, I was 14 years old and just a kid. I've never been in trouble since then, and I was really disappointed with myself, to be honest.
Okay. So you've been on the streets for a couple of weeks. You say you were obviously hungry, thirsty. Just describe in a little bit more detail what was going on around you in Croydon. Where were you? You know, were you on the high street? Whereabouts were you?
Yeah, I was on the main high street, just having a look around, and people were fighting each other. People were going in and robbing like TVs and whatever they could, and then people were robbing them when they came out. I see people get bottled. I see people get stabbed. Do you know what I mean? One guy got shot in Croydon, which wasn't far from me. It was a war. It was complete mayhem. It really was. It was actually scary. I'm not going to lie. It was scary. For the average person, it was scary.
And you were on your own, were you? Were you with a group of people?
No, I was all on my own, just by myself. Absolutely stinking, obviously, from being on the streets. Plus, it was quite hot last summer. So it was a bad time, it really was.
So just go back to your thought process. You were passing Iceland, were you? All this was going on. Where were the police?
The police were at the top of the road, but there must have been 20 policemen and a couple of dogs against a good 500-strong crowd. And everyone was getting rowdy, starting throwing stuff at the police, and but in a matter of minutes, you could just hear that all the alarm bells were going off on all the shops. And the police couldn't do anything about it. There wasn't enough of them. There really wasn't. It was crazy. It was mad. I'd never seen anything like it. Never.
So what did that make you think at the time?
At the time, as soon as Iceland window come down, I just thought, well, there's a bottle of Coke there. I'm dying of thirst. Let me go and get that. I know it sounds so pathetic just to steal a bottle of Coke, but I was that thirsty. I was that desperate. And then my mindset just changed. It was just all about money. I mean, I'm not a thief. I've never been up for shoplifting or anything like that. But at that stage, I thought if I get myself a computer or an iPad or a TV, you know, I can make some money and get a deposit for myself. And that was my thinking at the time.
Did you break into any of these shops? Did you damage them? Or were you someone who just went in afterwards and stole things?
I went in afterwards. I didn't break anything or anything like that. But I went in with no hoods, no mask. I wasn't trying to cover myself up. It was just get something and get out. And that was it, really, yeah.
Would you describe yourself then as being a kind of opportunist? You were there at the time.
I was. It was definitely an opportunist. Definitely, definitely. Because there was no way I would ever go out and steal stuff, you know, without that riots happening. If the riots didn't happen, I wouldn't have been there.
We'll talk a bit more about that afterwards. But moving on, so you've been in Iceland, you've got your bottle of Coke. What made you think about getting more?
The fact that it's, you know, everyone's doing it. The police can't stop you right now. So it was just like, this is my opportunity to get some money together. That was my fault. So for an hour, I was just thinking about money.
And what were people around you doing? Just describe the scene.
They were fighting each other. They were robbing each other. It was mayhem. It was war. You're scared for your life. You really was. It's only the fact that I smelt so bad. No one come near me. I'm not even going to lie. But it was war. It was a complete war.
Where did you get these iPads from? Had you gone into a stock room or were they on display?
No, I went into like a stock room. I did anyway. But everyone else was taking stuff off like the shelves, even the dummy stuff. The whole shops were just being completely cleared. People were turning up in their cars and with their kids and families and robbing stuff. It was mad. I'd never seen anything like it. So, you know, at the time, I thought to myself, I'd be a fool not to try and get some money here because nobody else was going to help me.
So it wasn't just sort of, you know, it's been portrayed as a load of youths, maybe some gang criminals, that sort of thing. But you were saying, what sort of people were you seeing stealing?
Kids. I was seeing kids, women. I was seeing, you know, just ruthless people. People that don't need to go and do that. I mean, they were just doing it for the fun of it. They really were. A lot of them were. I say 90% were just doing it just for the laugh or just for the fact they could. But there was only a small percentage that actually needed the money. Like, I desperately needed that money.
And when did you... It sounds like you were almost in a sort of fever of thinking, yeah, I can get some stuff here. When did you almost come round?
I'd say the next day I felt bad. I mean, I know it sounds like this, but I'm not a criminal at all. I don't think criminal. I'm not after just robbing stuff. I'd rather go out and work for my money if I could. But for that hour, I was up for anything in that hour.
What did you do with these iPads then? Did you take them to?
It's funny, actually. I actually stashed them somewhere where I thought they'd be safe, and I went back and they were gone. So really, I didn't actually get anything apart from a bottle of Coke. So, and then just a couple of days later, I handed myself into the police.
Can you tell us the thought process behind that? Because, I mean, I know there was a lot of CCTV and there is a chance that you would have been caught anyway.
I just give up. I was crying. I've got to be honest, I'm a 27-year-old man, but I was crying my eyes out because there was no help at all. I had no family. It was the last resort. I thought, what else can I do? Let me just hand myself in and see where it goes from there. And I was in the police station for a couple of days. They said it's the easiest case they've ever had, and then they took me to court, straight to prison. But my life has turned around since then. It's done me a favour. The riots happening has done me a favour.
Tell us about the process then. So they sent you to prison.
Yes.
For what was it? What were you charged with?
Three counts of burglary.
And how much did you get in prison?
I was only on remand for like 18 weeks. But then as soon as I made an application for bail, they just released me straight away because of the circumstances, the way I handed myself in. There was actually no evidence against me. People out there listening thinking, oh, he's so dumb. But if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in now. Do you know what I mean? I'm just about to get my own place. I'm doing an astronomy and planetary science course. Things are really looking up for me now. And you know what I mean? I'm in contact with family and that. So in a way, I am grateful for the riots. I am, personally.
You can understand how people may be angry to hearing you say that, though. People that were maybe had businesses that they worked a long time for that were ruined, or they had very frightening situations that have stayed with them to now. What would you say to them?
I don't agree with... Like, I feel sorry for all those people, and I felt sorry for the police who were getting attacked, and, you know, that would never be my sort of thing. I'd never do that. So I obviously feel for them. But if they put themselves in my shoes at the time, where the council wouldn't help you and family wouldn't help you, there was nobody. I'm not just saying it. There really was no one. So they can't be mad at me for that.
I've got to say, though, you're justifying it because you knew your personal circumstances. Yeah. But you were part of something that was incredibly destructive.
But to be honest, I didn't know the scale of it. I did not know it was that bad. I really didn't know how bad it actually was. And I am ashamed that I'm part of the riots. I hate telling people I went to jail because I was part of the riots. I'm not a rioter. I'm not a bad criminal like that. I'm an opportunist. I took something that I needed at that stage.
Do you think people have sympathy with that?
Well, they should do. I mean, they shouldn't just be so closed-minded. You've got to put yourself in other people's shoes. So I do understand the shopkeepers, and I do understand the police and the fire brigade getting upset and stuff, but there was a lot of people out there who really needed the money. And, you know, what else can I say? What else can I say? I know people are going to hate me out there, but...
I don't think it's necessarily that they're going to hate you. I think it's that people don't understand, because some people would say, no matter how poor, no matter how destitute...
Yeah, unless you're in that situation, you don't know. I mean, I used to look at homeless people all the time and think, nah, there must be somewhere they can go. There isn't. There's nowhere they can go. If you're not foreign, if you're not disabled, if you ain't got kids, council don't want to know. They do not want to know.
A lot of these people weren't in your situation then, though. Yeah, can we talk about those?
Those people should be locked up. every person that was involved in the riots for no reason should be locked up. All the people that caused trouble and smashed windows and that, they should all be locked up. I don't care what they think about me, because they're just wrong. They are just wrong.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about your experience being in custody, because I take it you hadn't had that experience before.
I've never been to jail before, and it was a rough experience, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't something that I enjoyed, but at the time I was getting 2 meals a day and I had a bed, so, you know, I was a little bit grateful for it. But prison is not for me, no, not at all.
Tell us what you're doing now then, a little bit more, because I understand you're quite involved with the anniversary of the riots as well.
There's a football tournament next Wednesday in Mitcham, and that's before the riots. We're playing against the police and the fire brigade and people that were involved. Sky Sports are supposed to be going down there, supposed to BBC and stuff. So, you know, it'd be nice to be involved in that.
What is it that makes you want to speak out about this now?
Well, I just want my opinion heard, really, because not every person in that riots was a bad person. Not everyone was. Some people just got caught up in it. Some people just, like, really needed the money.
Can I put a scenario to you? You've done your course and you've got a fantastic job and a family, maybe, and something similar happens and you're caught up in the sort of scenario that you were in. Can you envisage that?
No, not really. I don't agree with anybody else in the riots, what they were doing. I don't agree with what they were doing. I don't agree with them going out just on the sheer fact that just because riots are happening, they're going out and doing it as well. I don't agree with that at all. So,
you don't think there's any... They would say, though, you know, we've spoken to people that would say they're poor, there's nothing for them to do, they're treated badly by the police... They think they are justifications. No. Is there any justification?
No, not for the way it carried on. There's no no, not at all. Even if the police, you know, they did shoot that guy by mistake or stuff like that. Mistakes happen. You don't turn the country upside down like that. I'm shocked. I was really shocked.
But it sounds like you are shocked and you dislike the way it happened, mm-hmm. but you do still. You're ashamed of it, but you do still think you had a reason and that was right for you to do at the time.
No, it's not the right thing. Let me just make that clear. What I'd done was not right, and I'm not proud of what I'd done. But I had to do that. Unless you're in that situation, you know what I mean? You don't know. I had to do that. So what else could I have done? And it has worked out better in the long run. It really has.
Do you think that a lot of people have had maybe something good come out of the riots, people that have been caught and put through the justice system?
I don't think many people, no. I don't think many people that have come out the other side of it. There's not a lot of people were in my situation. These were just young kids running around like ruthlessly, just smashing stuff for the fun of it and wrecking people's lives and that. Oh, I'm not part of that. So when people say, oh, you're right, I say, no, I'm not. What I done, I was just a thief. I went and stole something. That's what I done.
Do you think the UK has changed? Do you think we've learnt anything from last summer?
No, not really, just apart from how quick we can turn the country upside down if we wanted to. That's about it, really. I mean, but the government don't help themselves. You know, everything's just on edge.
Okay.
Could you ask a bit about the rehabilitation process?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so we've talked about you being in custody. Mm-hmm. When you came out, what happened then?
When I come out, I was made to go and live with my uncle, who's like a violent drunk. So things weren't great straight away. And then I was made homeless again by him because he's quite violent and threw me out. So then I had a friend called Jamie who was living at Langley House at the time, supported housing, and he told me to come down. And I went down there on the off chance after going to the council and begging for a place. They said no. But the regional manager of Langley House actually came down at that precise moment. It was just fate. And he saw me, he saw the state I was in, and he offered me a room within 10 minutes. So now I've gone from being homeless to having my own studio room, basically. And things really have just picked up from there. I've now got friends, I've got family, I no longer smell like a tramp or look like one, and I'm doing an astronomy and planetary science course in October.
Doesn't strike me as the sort of thing you can do unless you're fairly intelligent, that course.
No, of course. I've done dumb things. I'm a smart guy, but I've done stupid things. So what can I say?
Do you think that there's too many people that are in that situation, that their circumstances in life have meant that they haven't had the opportunities they need and they've just gone down a path and they can't get off it?
Yeah, no, definitely. There's not a lot of help out there for people. There really isn't. There really isn't. And I bet a lot of those writers, I bet they're regretting what they've done and they should be ashamed of themselves, most of them.